Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, and we're talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. You're listening to another episode of Who's Reading the Organon? I believe this is show number 22 on June 3rd, 2010. And our short little quote for the day is about repeating yourself by William Feather. Any man who makes a speech more than six times a year is bound to repeat himself, not because he has little to say, but because he wants applause and the old stuff gets it. So that's a good reason to repeat. And of course, this person is perhaps a so he knows what he's talking about. Another one by William Feather is books open your mind, broaden your mind, and strengthen you as nothing else can. And that's what we're doing. We're repeating over and over again the study of the Organon by Samuel Hahnemann. And just for a clue for those people who are trying to sign up to Homeopathy World Community, in order to get in, you have to answer a special question. The question is, who is the founder of homeopathy? And make sure that you spell his name correctly. Look it up on the internet if you don't know. I think that you can probably guess from this clue who is the author of the Organon is the same person who is the founder. And I'm wondering whether Vera has been able to sign in today, because I understand, yep, she is here. And let's see. I think she's okay.
Can you hear me, Debbie?
Yes, I had to unmute you, and somehow it did that automatically today.
No, I did it.
Oh, I'm sorry. We are going to be working on aphorisms 280 and 281, I believe. Did I mention the quote by Jim Rohn? Affirmation without discipline is the beginning of delusion. My memory fails me here, but it's a pretty good one. So what this means is we really make this intention, this affirmation, to continue with our discipline and our continued repeating and reviewing and study of the Organon. And without that affirmation, we're going to delude ourselves that we're ever going to learn or get something actually accomplished without doing the action behind the thought. So I'm ready to go. And perhaps at the end of the show, if we have some time, I'll talk a little bit about what's happening on the network.
Oh
boy. I hope we're not in for that repeating again. I understand that Vera's her computer is doing its automatic update, which means it takes a lot of memory from her computer to do that function. And if her call-in is not working, she may have to use her cell phone to get online. It looks like she has disappeared. So I will begin by reading the aphorism. Hopefully people can hear me, and I would love to learn by some feedback if you've been able to hear me. So I'm going to go ahead and read this aphorism. And if things don't work out, Vera can't get on, we may postpone today's session. Aphorism number 280. One continues to give a medicine as long as it continues to benefit the patient and does not give rise to any new troublesome complaints. By the way, this is the Hunsley version and not the Boric version, so I'll go to that one next. And one gradually increases the dose until the patient, while feeling generally better, begins once again to experience one or more of his old original symptoms to a moderate degree. If the remedy has been modified each time by succussion and the very moderate doses have been gradually increased, this return of old symptoms indicates that cure is imminent and that the vital principle has almost no more need to be affected by the similar medicinal disease in order to stop feeling the natural disease. And that, now more free of the natural disease, it is beginning to suffer somewhat from the homeopathic medicinal disease, otherwise known as homeopathic aggravation. So this is what we were talking about yesterday, that turning the light on and turning the light off, the natural disease and the artificial disease from the remedy, and just fine-tuning exactly how much is necessary to give in order to get a response. And I'm
Hi, Debbie. I'm back.
Oh, good. I just read the aphorism 280 from the Hunsley version, and you may want to repeat that again using the Boricke version.
Okay, I'll repeat it from Boricke. I apologize for disappearing from the sensation of Blog Talk Radio, but my antivirus kicked in and kicked everything else out. I suppose that was a new and troublesome symptom in the radio show, but we'll try and resolve it. Okay, I'm going to start again from the beginning of 280. The dose of the medicine that continues serviceable without producing new troublesome symptoms is to be continued while gradually ascending, so long as the patient with general improvement begins to feel in a mild degree the return of one or several old original complaints. And bearing in mind also that this relates to the form of dosing that Hahnemann describes earlier, where it's really the small doses that some people think are only for LMs. With one grain in 7 tablespoons of water, 1 tablespoon of brandy, this form of dosing that we discussed in aphorism 270-something or 240-something. Let's give you the exact place. Okay, in the aphorisms, the first aphorisms 245, 246, 247 that we talked about. Can you hear me, Debbie?
Yes, you're doing well.
Okay.
So yes, excellent.
So, as long as the medicine is continuing serviceable without producing anything new, we gradually ascend as long as the patient is feeling general improvement, even if there's a mild degree, the return of one or several old original complaints. This indicates... Oh, why was I hunting for the aphorism? It's all here. This indicates an approaching cure through a gradual ascending of the moderate doses, modified each time by succussion. And Hahnemann sends us to aphorism 247. It indicates the vital principle no longer needs to be affected by the similar medicinal disease in order to lose the sensation of the natural disease. Here Hahnemann sends us to aphorism 148. It indicates that the life principle, now free from the natural disease, begins to suffer only something of the medicinal disease, hitherto known as homeopathic aggravation. Now, one of the ways that when I've taught this in the past, I love to use a board for this to draw it out so people should see it. If you imagine a picture of a person that is the natural disease, right? And our objective is to give a slightly stronger, similar artificial disease. So imagine an outline of that person just very close to the outline of the body itself. That's the overlay of the artificial disease. The overlay of the artificial disease is so close to the original, it isn't felt as an additional disease, unless too large a dose was given, as we've discussed in previous aphorisms. There might be a slight sensation of worsening. There may be the return of one or several old original complaints. All that's inside the outline. Now, what happens when the person improves, the vital principle no longer needs to be affected by the similar medicinal disease, and you start seeing only the medicinal disease, since the natural disease is obliterated. Once you only see the medicinal disease, then you can see it, and you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And this can lead to an aggravation that is towards the end of treatment.
Mm-hmm. I like your imagery.
Yeah, it's quite pretty on a board, but I'm not very good at drawing, yeah. So I usually just do it in boxes, one on top of the other.
In my imagination, I'm thinking of somebody rolling out the dough, and there's a picture of the gingerbread man, and you mm-hmm. have you put the cookie cutter on top of the gingerbread man, and you pull out the dough. So
if we take your metaphor further, Debbie, if you imagine what happens when you bake that gingerbread man, let's say you've drawn an outline on the paper and you bake the gingerbread man, then it shrinks and then you see more of the outline than you saw before. Right?
When does it shrink? When does it shrink?
Often in baking, things shrink a little. Well, sometimes they spread a little. Actually, I'm no baker. Why am I presenting baking aphorisms?
I'm the baker here.
Ah, okay.
The cookies spread out, but I'm thinking of just the raw dough.
I'm thinking of steak, actually.
A steak? Okay.
Well, steak shrinks when you cook it.
You must be hungry today. So what I'm saying is that the cookie cutter is the remedy that when you put it over the outline of the man and you pull it out, now the dough is empty. It's mm-hmm. it's called reduction.
Mm-hmm.
In artistic methods, you're reducing, you're taking away that dough from the inside, so the natural disease is now gone, and now you just have the outline.
I must be hungry. My mind is going to gravy and reducing that. Anyway, look, it's 7 o'clock here. Dinner time.
Oh, it's dinner time. It's dinner time. Okay.
But basically, we see a situation where you could say it's the example of someone who buys clothes for when they're a certain size, and then they shrink, and then you see more clothing than person. And at that point, you realize that the clothing no longer suits, it no longer fits. And the same thing happens with a remedy. But the big question is, how do we know? How do we know if the person is at the end of treatment? And what we're seeing is just a bit too much of the remedy when the natural disease is almost or completely gone. So this leads us straight into 281. In order to be convinced of this, the patient is left without any medicine for 8, 10, or 15 days.
Congratulations.
Guess what?
What was that?
Is going bonkers. there's this thing on the computer that automatically goes on whenever you get near it. And it did.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I think I actually won, so I got excited.
Ah! Has anyone ever done that?
Oh,
they
I don't
tell you
know.
That you win. You're always a winner, Vera. Okay.
Thank you.
Let's repeat this. Organon aphorism number 281.
Right. In order to be convinced of this, i.e. convinced that we're no longer seeing natural disease, in order to be convinced that now all we're seeing is stronger, similar, artificial disease that now is perhaps too strong, perhaps no longer similar, the patient is left without any medicine for 8, 10, or 15 days, meanwhile giving him at least some powders of sugar of milk. Possibly we're referring to saklak here. If the few last complaints are due to the medicine, simulating the former original disease symptoms, then these complaints will disappear in a few days or hours. If during those days without medicine, while continuing good hygienic regulations, nothing more of the original disease is seen, he is probably cured. But if in the later days traces of the former morbid symptoms should show themselves, they are remnants of the original disease not wholly extinguished, which must be treated with renewed higher potencies of the remedy as directed before. If a cure is to follow, the first small doses must likewise be again gradually raised higher, but less and more slowly in patients where considerable irritability is evident than in those of less susceptibility, where the advance to higher dosage may be more rapid. There are patients whose impressionability compared to that of the unsusceptible ones is like the ratio as 1,000 to 1. So we've got quite a few subjects within these two aphorisms. First of all, we have a medicine that produces new troublesome symptoms, which is being ruled out at the beginning of 280. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
A medicine which is producing some old symptoms, but mildly, which is why I don't totally buy into situations where the homeopath is given a remedy and the patient gets a return of old symptoms in a way that is so strong and overwhelming that they can't handle it. There is something wrong with the dosing, probably, in that type of situation. For anyone who ever wants to look, by the way, in I think Luc de Schepper has it too, but certainly Vitorkas in The Science of Homeopathy, at the end of the book, he has all kinds of graphs which show the progression of cases and gives interpretations, you know, if it's better than worse, if it's worse than better, all different kinds of varieties. So I really recommend to look at that book.
I believe someone on our network has also put up a chart. I'll try and find that and reference it in the group.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have the concept of gradually ascending dose of medicine, which here refers to potency, which is referred to both in 280 and 281, and we've had some discussion on the concept of descending potencies. And here, as previously, Hahnemann seems to be very clearly working with ascending potencies, not descending potencies. We have the question, the patient is showing homeopathic aggravation. What does that mean? He's getting old symptoms, and the symptoms are hanging around. So we have the suggestion maybe that means that the remedy has already done its work and the natural disease is no longer what we're seeing. What we're seeing is an artificial disease. And the way to demonstrate whether this is really so in 281 is to leave the patient without medicine or to give the patient saklak. Then we'll see what exactly is going on with this patient. Now for me, I had a case which ran exactly this way. It was not that long after I'd been rereading these aphorisms. And in this case, the patient received a remedy for about 2 weeks. It was an acute, it was an injury. The patient received a remedy, was doing extremely well on the remedy, was very happy with the progress. And then one day he called and he said, "I don't understand what's happening. Everything's going wrong. Everything's coming back." So, of course, my traditional initial response is, "Oh my gosh, what have I done wrong?" But fortunately, the organon was at hand. And I looked at aphorism 281 and I saw, and 280, and I saw maybe this is just the artificial disease from the remedy. And I stopped the remedy, and within half a day, everything cleared up again. So, and then I just put him on an occasional dose of the remedy. So this is really if you look out and see this is really case management, and this is one of the reasons, these aphorisms, one of the reasons why I chose to start with these aphorisms at the end of the Organon. Because these aphorisms tell us how to manage cases, and they tell us very clearly, and they tell us in the words of the person who developed the entire system, the person who one would think naturally understands best how to work it. Am I allowed to say his name, Debbie? I sort of heard the tail end of a quiz.
Well, that means that they need to listen to the show to get the answer. So go ahead.
Uh-huh. Okay, and the winner is. Anyway,
okay.
So, but in 281, Hahnemann develops the idea further. Do you have anything you'd like to say about what we've been talking about so far, Debbie? I feel like I'm running on.
I like to listen to the explanation of this aphorism and how you've done it. I'm also thinking about the real scenario when you are confronted with the patient showing the different outcomes from their remedy, and how you assess what you're looking at as the response and what you are supposed to do in those particular cases. For me, whenever someone has a response, I would always recommend to not keep repeating the remedy, because that would give approving and that would bring out more symptoms. So this this natural aggravation at the end of the healing process is what it sounds like, where you give the remedy, the person seems to be doing really well, and then the symptoms return.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where the professional homeopath has to hold tight and just wait it out a little bit. When would they know that it is an emergency situation and they have to act, and when do they know that they have to just wait? Or do some people at this point give a lower potency, or just tell me what
to my mind, even before you go there, even before going in that direction, you need to ask yourself several questions. As the case is progressing, the patient is producing some symptoms. You need to ask, are they new or are they old? The answer, mm-hmm. It's like a flow chart. The answer to that question, is this a new symptom or is this an old symptom? The answer to that question, if it's a new symptom, maybe I need to double check the remedy. Okay?
Uh-huh.
If it's an old symptom, then we have another question. And the question is it mild or is it severe? If it's mild, well, it looks like we're carrying on. If it's severe, questionable. Is this too large a dose? Is this too strong? Is it too high a potency? Maybe we'll wait a little bit with treatment. And then moving along the flowchart, the patient has had mild return of old symptoms, but then the next question is this transient? Or is it here for the long haul? Is this symptom just
revisiting? So you're asking, how long do the symptoms just stay with the person?
I mean, what I see when there's a return of old symptoms during the process of treatment, and they could be old symptoms, like in an acute, it could be an old symptom relating in some shape to the acute, but very often it's an old symptom that relates to something old in the patient that's just being triggered a little bit by the treatment. What I'll see if dose and potency were adjusted as they should be is that it's transient. You know, someone will say, you know, I was taking this remedy for this fall I had, and on Monday morning I had a return of a headache I haven't had in years, but it wasn't terrible and it lasted half an hour. Now, that kind of news I can live with, and that's interesting. But if someone says to me, you know, I've been taking this remedy for acute, And it's really been helping. And I've heard this kind of answer. It's really been helping in the acute with the fall or the break or the whatever it might be. But I've had this tinnitus that I had 5 years ago, and I'm having it the whole time, and it's not going away. And on the one hand, the remedy is making me feel wonderful in terms of the swelling and the contusion and the whatever it might be. On the other hand, I'm stuck with a tinnitus. What do I do? So here, all these places are like, I compare it sometimes to the London Underground. You know, there are places where you need to switch trains, and you need to be aware of them. That at that point, you're going to decide, am I staying on the same train, or am I going to get off and move to a different platform? And okay. If it's the London Underground, you're also looking for some better musicians.
Right. You want to be singing a prettier song in your head rather than complaining or having to deal with something that is not transient, something that, you know, you want it to just last for a short time and be impermanent. But if it is something that's going to be holding on for a long time, then it's not the right train station.
I'll give an example. I had a patient who was having an eye problem. I see we don't have much time, and I'll try and talk very fast. Had a patient who was having an eye problem, and I gave her euphrasia, which was helping the eye problem, but brought back an old headache that she had. And she was in a dilemma whether to take the remedy and get the headache, but have no eye infection, or whether to drop the remedy and deal with the eye infection and have no headache.
Mm-hmm. Which is better, the headache or the eye problem?
I think in retrospect, I should have looked for a different remedy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, it's one of these nodes. It's one of these places where I have to decide, am I staying on the same train, even if it says it's going someplace which is not where I want to go, in this case into headache land, or am I going to shift and find something that gives gentle, rapid, permanent cure, not by causing something else which was fairly unbearable for the patient? This is where, to my mind, these aphorisms is where homeopathy becomes so interesting. And this is very much an art, and it's the art of recognizing when do you switch, when do you stay. And so much is involved both in understanding the dynamic of how the remedies are working, what the remedies are doing, stronger artificial disease is doing, a similar stronger artificial disease is doing, or what perhaps a dissimilar artificial disease, which means a remedy that's not homeopathic to the case. And I think in retrospect for this particular patient, the euphrasia was not homeopathic to the case and should have been switched.
Maybe we'll discuss that case again in the next week, because we're wrapping up number 4. Very exciting to do that. And I wanted to do just a summary of today's show. Here's my ideas. Is it cookie cutter action? And when we're doing this, and also I want to think of calling it case closed. If you have, I don't know that we even have time for you to say anything, Vera. Want to go ahead and
get a map of the London Underground.
Okay, I'm going to keep those metaphors in my mind. The gingerbread man baking in the kitchen, or a hammer coming down. This is case closed, or London Underground, and get a map. So see you next week. Take the Organon off the shelf and read it. This is Debbie Brook and Vera Resnick saying goodbye for today.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.
Uh-oh, I forgot to turn it off.
Maybe when I go back to school, I'm going to get a new eye at school. I'm going to get new eyes at school because I have no eyes.
You have no screen?